Mr. Tim.
Well, good morning, everyone. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Hope you bring your Bibles to church every week. I carry the word with me frequently throughout the week and have opportunities at lunch or certain break times to look into it. And so it's always great to bring the word. If you don't have your word with you today, we'll have it on PowerPoint. And we're going to be looking at the parable of the mustard seed. And this is what it says in Mark chapter 4. Verses 30 through 34. This parable is also recorded in Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 13. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us this parable, and here's Mark's version of it. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Excuse me, I was reading verse 26. I'm going to start at verse 30. Again he said, Jesus is speaking, "What shall we say that the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. Last week, we started a series entitled Once Upon a Parable. My vision here, and it's become our vision as a church, it's a part of our vision statement, we desire to be a community of believers, a caring community of believers, who really are in pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ. That's what we are all about. We want to know Jesus, and we want to make him known. And we do that through a variety of ways. One of the ways that I think, if we're going to know about Jesus, is to study his parables. One-third of all of his teachings were given through parables. What a great way to discover who Jesus is, to discover how he thinks. This is called a kingdom parable, because he wants us to know what his kingdom is like. If you have ever had the privilege of traveling abroad, going to other countries, sometimes just going to other states, you'll sense the same thing. But generally speaking, when you go overseas to other countries, you would do well to study the culture of that country before you visit there, because things are so totally different. What you think is appropriate here will not necessarily be appropriate there. You could actually offend certain people by doing certain things that you're accustomed to over here, but over there, it's different. So the kingdom of God is so different as well, and he wants us to understand what it's like. And so he gives us these parables, and he talks to us about what his kingdom is like, and he's trying to share with us some of the points to understand about how he rules in his kingdom and what he wants done. Last week, we talked about the parable of the growing seed, and we started this series with that parable. That parable was all about growth. And if you weren't here, we talked about the fact that we are created to grow. And we heard God say to us in a gentle way, grow up. Not grow up, but grow up. This is a year of growth. I had rulers made for every family unit, and we passed those out, and it's called Created to Grow. If you weren't here last week and you would like one of these, would you please pick one up at the guest services on your way out? I think we have some extras. I told everyone that I was going to put it in my doorway between the kitchen and the living room. I said I was going to drill a hole, and I was going to put a nail there, and I was going to hang it there to remind me that this year is a year about growth. My wife came to me and says, "Do we have to drill a hole? Can we just put some double back tape on? Wouldn't that be okay?" And so I yielded to her wisdom, and so that's what we did, and it's up there now. So this is a year, and really it's a theme. I believe that God is calling you and me to grow beyond our comfort zone. We heard that this morning, didn't we? To grow beyond our comfort zone, to grow beyond our frame of reference, to explore territories that we've never explored before and see what God can do, because he's got some great things in store for us. We talked about growing and becoming a little bit more like him this year. We didn't sing a song today, but we've sung it in the past. I think it's called Freedom. And it says, I'm going to praise him a little bit louder this year. This year, I'm going to worship him a little bit longer. I'm going to dance a little bit more freely this year. I'm going to grow in him. That's what last week's parable is all about, growth. We want to grow. I think all of you who are employed by someone, at the end of the year, you're hoping that you'll get a little bit more money this year. You'll get what they call a raise. And we all want to grow. And that was what last week's parable was all about. This week's parable is about the seed, but it's not necessarily about growth. It's about transformation. It's about change. It's about something that's small becoming big. It says that the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds at that time. It's not the smallest seed known to man in our present day, but it was the smallest seed generally known to the farmer or the person in that day when they would plant it. And when you plant it, it becomes big. It's not about the growth process. It's about change and about transformation. This parable that we just read about the mustard seed is about someone who's weak and they become strong. Wes talked about someone who couldn't walk, someone who's lame and fallen, but now they can walk again. Someone who was poor, but now they've been changed and they're rich. Someone who's insignificant, but now they're significant. Someone who was powerless, but now they're powerful. See, that's transformation. That's change. And that's what this year is all about. Growth will require change. As you continue to grow, you have to change your outfits. Sometimes not because they're old and worn out, but sometimes just because you've outgrown them. I know what it's like right now to try to fit into a 34-inch pant. I should buy a 36-inch pant, but I'm vowing this year that I'll lose some weight and I'll stay in the 34s. Sometimes you have to change clothes because growth means you have to change, and that's what this parable is all about. Would you turn to someone and tell them, if you could change one thing in the world, what would you change? I want you to tell them one thing that you would change in the world. Now, if nothing comes to your mind, use the Miss America pageant. I would bring peace to all mankind. But if you could change anything in this world, what would you change? Turn to someone and just tell them one thing you'd change. You'd like to see change. Well, whatever you said, and I'm sure that there were a myriad of things that were just said, this parable teaches us one simple thing. All transformation, all change starts small. Starts small. This seed, this is what the kingdom of God is like. If you want to function and be a significant contributing factor in God's kingdom, you have to understand this principle. Everything starts small. This year, I want to pray for an hour a day. Well, I've never prayed for an hour a day. So my suggestion would be, rather than trying to pray an hour a day if you've never done that, start with 6 minutes a day. Start small. Give the first minute to thanksgiving. Thank God in 60 seconds. Take 60 seconds to thank God for what he has done. Take the next second, the second minute, and give him praise for what he is doing. The third minute, worship him. Tell him who he is, who you've discovered him to be. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're our savior. You're our coming king. You're our baptizer. You can fill up 60 seconds quickly by declaring who he is. The fourth minute, do some petitions. Ask God for some things that you feel like he wants to give you. The fifth minute, do some intercession. Pray for someone else that you know is struggling. And the sixth minute, do a little bit of spiritual warfare. Tell the enemy that he's not going to rule your life. Tell him that he has to leave. Tell him you're resisting him and he can't hang around. Now start that way, 6 minutes, and then as you get comfortable with that and you find out that you can't do all that you want to do in 6 minutes, then you add a few minutes, but you start small. This year I want to give $40,000 to the kingdom of God. But you only make $35,000. So it's probably not going to happen. So why don't you start small? Why don't you start with God's recommendation of a tenth? Why not start with by giving him a tenth? You keep 90% of all the stuff that comes to you, and then seek his word, seek his faith, and you'll hear him say, why don't you start with a tenth? Start small, and you'll find that, some good things can happen. I want to read my Bible this year. I want to read it through. Well, don't try to do it in a month. Take a year to do that, or maybe even two. Last week, I talked to you about a life journal. How many of you were able to pick those life journals up? Many of you did. I'm encouraging every person in this congregation to pick one of these up. We discovered last week that if you're going to plant the Word of God in your heart, that you're going to have to read it, you're going to have to think it, you're going to have to write it, you're going to have to talk it, and I'd like to add one to it, you're going to have to do it. So those five things, when you do that, you will plant his word in your heart. So we're all going through the Bible in 1 year. But I realized this past week that for some of you, that might be too big of a step. Now, there is a reading plan that is included in this life journal, and it has two sides. It has you reading the Old Testament, and it has you read something in the New Testament. If reading through the Bible in a year is too difficult for you, and it could very well be, then why don't you just read through the right side, which is the New Testament, this year? Or why don't you read through just the left side, which is the Old Testament, this year? And you will be able to go along with us just like everybody else. And it'll take you 2 years, but you're on a pattern of finishing it. You can't always start big. You have to start small. That's the point of this. I want to help some people this year. Well, start with your neighbor. Start with one person that you know is in need. It's amazing what can happen when a small little seed is planted. Now, the sperm is even smaller than the mustard seed. But when the sperm, and it comes from us from a word called spermos, which is actually the word for seed. When the sperm is connected with the egg in the woman and planted in the uterus, something amazing happens, transformation, change. Let me introduce our staff to you, because some of you are new to this church. Some of you may have never met the staff, but I want to show you as an example of how transformation happens. So if I could have the pictures of the first staff person. Could you put lower the lights down so we could see those, please? I'd appreciate that. And can anybody guess who that is on our staff? Is that Sandy? Well, that's Sandy right there. Now, Sandy is our music director, and she's been with us for quite some time now, and I've developed a wonderful relationship with her, and many of you know her and have appreciated her love for Jesus and her abilities to lead us in worship. Notice the transformation. Now, that's change. That's small becoming big. That's what that parable is about. Who's the next one on staff? Can anybody pick out that one? Pastor Jeff, who was right up here, he's an outreach pastor. Now, some of you have seen their child. I'm telling you, that looks exactly like their child. But when you look at that picture, you notice that's transformation, that's change. They've gone from small to big. You plant this mustard seed, and all of a sudden you'll find that it becomes big, transformation. Who's the next? Anybody recognize her? Okay, let's have Sylvia Gaston. Sylvia is oversees our children's ministry. She is a wonderful person. She has great help, Carrie Cromwell and Debbie Cordero. I always want to say Cordero, but it's Cordero. Several other people who are assisting, but she's been on staff. Wonderful, wonderful person. Next. Anybody recognize that one? Who is that? Show us. Chris. He's our clown on staff. Chris is assisting Pastor Andrew and those of us in the church. He just helps with so many areas. It's hard to define what he does, but you can see that he's grown some. He's gone from small to big. Next. Anybody recognize her? She would greet you at the counter out there. Kim. Kim came on staff and oversees our connection ministry and is a part of the team, and you'll find her at guest services most often. The next one on staff. Roger. Transformation. He's gone from small to big. What's the next one? Does anybody recognize her? I recognize her because I married her. It's my wife, Donna. She oversees the women's ministry here, small to big. The next one. I can't imagine who that is, but I think that it's, who is it? Andrew, Pastor Andrew. Yes. With his mom and dad there. The next one. Who is that? I don't know who that is. That's me. I showed that to the staff and they says, "What happened? You are a good-looking kid." So we're looking for new staff members this currently because of the statements to me. I want you to pick up the first thing in your notes. Good things come in small packages. I married a woman who's 5 foot even. Small package. Great woman. She went to the doctors a couple weeks ago and had a checkup, and they measured her height, and they said she was 5'5" tall. She was ecstatic. Don't ever underestimate the power of something small. A cup of cold water, the Bible says, will bring you a great reward. We sometimes look down upon small things. But small things have the power to transform your life. Remember when I saw my grandson for the first time. I looked at him and I was amazed at how beautiful he was. Every grandparent feels like his grandson or granddaughter is the most beautiful grandchild in the world. I said, "God, what a great gift you've given to us in this grandson." A little apprehensive because I didn't remember what it was like to have a little kid around. So I got on the web page. Went to, I think it was baby.com or babycenter.com. And I started to study the changes, the transforming things that would take place in the life of a child so that I could see him being transformed and know that he was on schedule. That little kid has rocked my world. I was away for the last few days and he was staying with my youngest son and his wife. And after about 3 or 4 days, I missed the little tyke. And now I got him back, and I wondered why I missed him. But I missed him for some reason. He's rocked my world. You don't ever underestimate the power of small things. The Word of God is like a seed. But I'll tell you, when you plant the seed in your heart, it can change you. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom," Isaiah is talking, "so that I may know what to say to all these weary ones. Morning by morning he awakens me and opens my understanding to his will." Man, when you hear something from God and you speak it into someone's life, I'm telling you, it has the power of changing them. I had a woman today. I'm not going to tell you, what she told me, but I'll tell you, she doesn't know how powerful what she said to me, well, how powerful that was. I wouldn't have put it in the terminology that she used, but she caught me out there, and she says, I had a vision of you and Jesus, and she told me what she saw. I'm telling you, that what she said, I don't believe I will forget. From this time forward. There are certain times when God speaks to you that you never forget. How many of you had times like that? I mean, I can go back in my junior high years and remember just a small brief word that God said something and it changed me. It transformed me. We sometimes underestimate the power of something very, very small. Do you know that last weekend over 30 little children raised their hands to the teacher and said, "I'd like to receive Jesus into my life"? And some people could say, "Oh yeah, well that's just kids, no big thing." No, let me tell you, Most of the people that are saved today will say they had some touch with God in the early years. Don't ever underestimate small beings. You're never too young to be touched by God. You're never too old to be touched by God. This parable is all about small becoming great. It's not about the growth process. It's about transformation. It's about change and what God can do when something is planted. These workers in the nursery, these teachers in our classes that sacrifice their time each and every week, they have picked up the vision of the mustard seed parable. They understand how important it is to plant into the lives of little ones the Word of God. Oh, that we would all be raised up with that understanding. I'll tell you, the small things in life are important. Because, number two in your notes, all of the big things, all of the big works of God are built upon the small acts of obedience. Small things are important. If you and I underestimate the power of sin and we compromise even in small things, you'll discover too late the damages. Maybe you're in a small financial compromise. Things are going tough and money's not coming in like you thought it should, and so you're compromising. You're making small decisions, and it may not be quote-unquote sin for others, but for you, you know it's wrong. There may be a little lie that you've spoken or you've lived with. There may be a little flirtation in the sexual area. Just a little, still only small. It's not all that bad. Maybe it's a small fantasy. David said, "Search my heart, know me, expose anything that's within there, because the smallest thing has the power of corrupting me." I had a good friend in the early 70s who I worked with in ministry. He preached the word and believed in the healing power of God, the delivering power of God. And today he is bitter and angry and doesn't believe in the healing power of God, believes that the miracles and stuff like that was back for centuries ago, but no longer for today. He's changed. He's been transformed. How did that happen? Little by little, line upon line. See, all of the big things of God are built upon the small obediences. Whenever you obey God in the small things, you're planting seeds. And see, transformation doesn't take place unless you plant. You got to plant. But when you plant, there's a possibility for transformation. Just like Wes said today, everybody you pray for doesn't get healed, but I'll tell you, some of them do. And to some, all of you, the ones you have prayed for, are touched by the Spirit of the living God. We don't know His wisdom. I don't know how things work out, but whenever we pray, there's a possibility of transformation that takes place. Everything is dependent upon our planting. We were shopping last week, my son, my wife, and myself. Brad and me were sitting on the park bench outside waiting for my wife. It's a common sight when we go. And we're waiting 5 minutes. I looked at my watch and we're waiting almost 10 minutes. And finally, the impatience of both of us got to us. What is she doing? I mean, there's not much that much in that store. And I got up. And I wasn't like ticked off, but I'm ready to move on, you know. Okay, we've been here, let's move on to the next store. So we can sit outside at another park bench. So I got up and went in and looked inside, and she has the audacity to be praying for the clerk who's checking her out. She's planting. She's obeying. I'm impatient, man. Let's move on. Oh, she's planting. Kind of like Jesus' parents. You know, they leave Jerusalem. He's back there doing God's work, and they get all ticked off. Man, you should have been with us. Why weren't you? We went all this distance. Now we had to come back and get you. Why weren't you with us? Didn't you know I'm supposed to be about my Father's business? I'm all about planting. You got to plant. You know, when you plant in the lives of people, you begin to experience transformation. It's not the size of the package, number three, but it's the quality of your faith that matters. If you have faith, the only other time that Jesus used this path, this comment about a mustard seed was in Luke chapter 17, where he says, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. It's not the size of the package, but it's the quality of the faith that matters. Now, last week, as I said to you, we handed out some rulers. And we did that because I wanted you to remind yourself this year of growth. Because I'm serious about this. I really want to grow. We as a staff, we as a church, are serious about growing this year. And I don't know what form that's going to take. I don't know if it'll be more people coming here. I don't know if it'll be more finances. I don't know if it'll be more study. It'll be more of this. But we are serious about growing. And I want these to be placed in such a place where you are reminded that God has called us, created us, and called us to grow. And my mother used to use a yardstick to measure me, and she would put it like that, and she would mark the thing. And so that's why I put it in the doorway. Well, I would like to give you just four things that should be happening if God's word is planted in your life. As I said, when my grandson came along, I went to this .com, and I began to study. What would they look like after 5 or 6 months? What should they be doing around 13 months and 14 months? Now, he's just about ready to have his second birthday, so he's almost 24 months old now. So I went and I looked and say, at 13 months, they ought to be scribbling. At 19 months, they ought to be using a fork to some extent. And I've already felt like, man, I haven't even trained him with a fork yet, so I've got to get that out and start. But he eats pretty good with his fingers. Since that's the way I eat, I didn't think it was all that bad, but I guess we've got to train him. But you can determine that it's funny. They have three categories: what most kids will do at a certain time, what half the kids will do at a certain time, and what the advanced kids will do at a certain time. If you have planted God's word in your heart, four things, most of the time, for most people, this should happen within the first couple of years of your growth. And if it's not, you really need to check out the soil that the seed has been planted in. Because if the seed is planted in hard soil, it's not going to take root. But I've discovered that these four things generally happen in most of the Christians who allow God's word to be planted in their lives. Number one, they begin to talk differently. Psalms 33 says, sing for joy to the Lord, O you righteous one. Praise is becoming to the upright. Praise is becoming. You get more beautiful when you praise. When people open up to God and they begin to seek Him and they let His word penetrate their heart, one of the first things you can notice is their language starts to change. There's a decrease of the F words and the D words and the P words and all those other words that don't speak of Him. And all of a sudden their mouth begins to be filled with praise. I notice that right now at 23 months old, my grandson is just now starting to talk. And he's using several words. At this time, he should be, I guess, stringing two or three words together, so he's probably slow in that department. I'm not going to beat him up for that, okay? We'll give him some time to learn. Once he starts talking, I'll probably wish that he hadn't learned to talk. But right now, he's just using one or two words. Bye-bye, bye-bye. He just go through the store. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Now, his big word is truck now. Wakes up, and says, truck, truck. Got a truck for Christmas. It's all he wants. Truck, truck, truck. And he's but when you point something, he'll now say TV, say chair, shoe. Been putting my shoes on, walking around. Shoe, shoe. He's beginning to string words together. See, he's starting to develop a vocabulary. When you put God's word in your heart, one of the first things that begins to happen is he cleans your mouth up. He starts to maybe take some of your criticism away, and he starts to fill it with praise. Some of us can be so critical. We're always analyzing and tearing things apart. And sometimes that's not just new Christians, that's old Christians. God says, hey, remember I started to teach you a new language back in those days. We talk about the spiritual language, and I have a spiritual language. The Bible calls it speaking in tongues. I'll tell you, it's one of the greatest things, one of the greatest gifts God's ever given me personally that's helped me be transformed to become more like Him. I would pray that everyone this year would be receptive and open and willing to receive a brand new language. If you were going to go to Spain and live over there, I tell you, I'll bet you'd want to have a language given to you called Spanish. You know, if you're going to live in Brazil, sure be nice to have someone give you a gift. You don't even have to study. All you have to do is take the language called Portuguese. Wouldn't it be nice to have the language of the culture? And God gives us a language of the kingdom. It's transforming. But before he even gives a spiritual language, he gives you a brand new English language. He gives you a brand new language. It's called the language of praise. He touches your mouth. That happens when the word of God. The second thing I've noticed as a transforming sign, and this is kind of a way that you can measure yourself, is your mouth speaking coarse jesting? Is it using foul language? Is it in fact speaking blessings to people? Is it like salt on a meat that is in need of salt and in need of taste? You can actually measure yourself, spiritual life, this year by just saying, how's my mouth doing? The second thing I've noticed is that there's a change of attitude in the first couple of years. Selfishness begins to manifest itself, and I'll tell you, it sure has manifested itself in my 23-month-old grandson. It's manifested itself in selfishness, but now it's beginning to break, and we're changing his attitude. God begins to change your attitude. Philippians 2 says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. New Christians begin all of a sudden to sense a new compassion for other people. They not only focused on themselves, but now they're starting to focus on others. If that's not happening, if you're more focused on you rather than others, then you need to say, God, has your word been planted in good soil? Or do I need to go back and check some things out? The third thing that I noticed in Christians that have been responsive to the word of God is that their conscience is made alive. All of a sudden, they become more aware of what's right and what's wrong. They don't need any pastor. They don't need any preacher. They don't need any rabbi or any priest. They don't need a person who loves God to tell them what is wrong. There's something inside of them. The Holy Spirit begins to say, you know, this isn't really right for you. You know, you don't need to worry about anybody else, but for you, because of the decision you made, there's something needs to change. Their conscience is made alive. I've noticed a fourth thing, and that their desires begin to change. People who have been responsive to the Word of God, they begin to desire to know God and to be more like Jesus. They have a desire that seems to, they want to know what the Bible says. They want to read a little bit more. They want to have fellowship. They want to do something for God. People who have had God's Word planted in them, all of a sudden they want to do something. What can I do? How can I make a difference? I want to find my purpose in life. That's a desire that begins to grow in new Christians. They desire not to just be takers, but to be givers as well. Now, when God's kingdom, number three or four in your notes, when God's kingdom is active and alive in your life, you're going to go from good to great. Going to go from good to great. Now, that's the translation of that word. It becomes a large tree. It becomes a large shrub. It goes from small to great. The Greek word is magnus. We get our word mega. We have mega churches. That's a mega thing. It's a great thing. It's transformed from something small into something great. So when you plant it, all of a sudden you go from good to becoming great. Do you realize that you and I are destined for greatness? We're not just created to grow, that's true, we learned that last week, but in God's kingdom, we are destined for greatness. How many of you want to be great? Can I see your hands? See, some of us are embarrassed because isn't that a little bit egocentric? I mean, how can you say you want to be great? You know, the disciples had a kind of an argument between themselves. And who would be the greatest? Jesus never put them down for that desire. He did alter their understanding of greatness. He didn't say, how dare you want to be great? No, because I've created you and designed you to be great. But let me tell you what real greatness is. Greatness isn't being on top of everybody. It's being under everybody. It's not being the first in line. Well, I'm the pastor. I ought to be first in line. No, it's I ought to be last in line. It's not taking. It's giving. It's being on the servant-ended role. And they began to learn that. There was a book that was titled Destined for the Throne. I don't even think it's in print anymore. If it were, I'd have purchased copies for everyone because it is a dynamic book. Well, you and I are destined for the throne. And sometimes we don't feel like that we're very big at all. And that's the last point in your message. No matter how small you feel, there is a big God who reigns in his kingdom. There's a big, we sang this morning, didn't we? How great is our God? How great is our God? He's tremendous. He's great. And at times, you and I may feel so small, so powerless. God says, remember the parable of the mustard seed. If you don't despise the small things and you're willing to do the small things, the possibility of you becoming great is available for you if you will plant those things. Zacchaeus was a short man. You remember that story? Short man, small man, had to climb up in a tree to see Jesus. No one liked him because he was a tax collector. Jesus comes by, looks at him, and says, Zacchaeus, come down. That day, he became a big man. He became a transformed man. His commitment to Jesus was, you can read about it. He just made tremendous commitment. He went from small to great. His stature, his physical frame was the same, but the internal structure was altered. Not just rearranged, altered. He went from small to great. And it all happens if you plant. Let me conclude today by encouraging you, myself included, to number one, allow God's word to be planted in us. To be planted in us. Now that's what Life Journal is all about. Some of you don't like journaling. Some of you don't like reading. Some of you don't like this. But I'm telling you, if you will do this, if you will get out of your comfort zone, and even if you don't feel like you're getting anything, just read something of God's word, you're going to start to feel stronger. I tell you, if you do it for 30 days straight, you're going to feel differently in your spiritual walk. It will take place. I don't know how it'll happen. That's what last week's parable was all about. I don't know how it'll happen, but it will happen. You got to let God's word be planted in your heart. And how do you do it? Let me say it again. You read it, you think it, you write it, you talk it, and you do it. Those five things. And it'll be planted in your hearts. The second thing that has to happen is, Psalms 1 says, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the streams of life. You got to plant yourself. You got to let God's word be planted in your heart. But you got to plant yourself next to God. Where is God? He's in fellowship. You got to plant yourself next to other people who love God. Not just other people who are religious, other people who are serious about growing in God. I'm telling you, when you get next to someone who's serious about growing in God, it helps you. You'll never learn to play a game better unless you get someone who's better than you playing against you. I played a lot of racquetball in my early years, and I the people who were less than where I was at, they weren't as advanced as I was. I never learned anything. I just had fun watching them run around. But when I started to play with someone who was more advanced than me, all of a sudden I found myself running around, and I had to learn some new things. You've got to let God's word be planted in your heart, but you have to plant yourself by the river of living water. You have to start drinking from the well that he provides. And the last thing that you have to do is you have to plant his word that's given to you in the lives of others. Donna and I went to a conference that was put on by Pastor Jack Hayford. This is probably, I'd say, in the late 80s. So we're talking 15, 20 years ago. Somewhere around there. And to this day, I can remember that conference. I don't remember everything that was said. I do remember one session, some of the comments that were made. But I do remember what happened to Donna and I after the conference. We went out to our car. The conference, the title of it was A Spirit-Sensitive Church. It was trying to define the difference between a seeker-sensitive church and in no way putting down a seeker-sensitive church, but just trying to show the difference between a spirit-sensitive church and a seeker-sensitive church. A seeker-sensitive church might make decisions on the basis of what people will receive and what they want to hear, whereas a spirit-sensitive church would say, God, what do you want me to do? Regardless of what people would think. Almost like when you hear your political leaders say, you can't make your decisions on the basis of the polls. You have to have some convictions to move. We went to this conference and we were so touched by the Holy Spirit that we went out to our car, and it was in the summertime and it was pretty hot. We started the car up, put the air conditioning on, and we cried for 20 minutes. Couldn't stop crying. Even as I think about it, I could be moved by this in the Spirit. It was just a visitation of God and the Holy Spirit in us all weekend, but in that car, He showed up. If you've ever been in a room where just you and God, it's a kind of an awesome experience, a scary experience. But it's just that's what it felt like. It felt like God was so real, I could actually touch Him. And here's what we said. We don't want to lose this experience. We don't have. That's why we stayed for 20 minutes. I don't want to move. I want to keep this as long as I can. And as we began to leave and we began to drive home, both of us felt like the Holy Spirit said this to us: if you really want to keep that experience alive, plant it in someone else. Give it away. And I'm telling you something that happened, 15, 20 years ago. I still am touched by it today. We'll never forget that for the rest of my life. No one has to remind me of that. The Holy Spirit brings it back time and time again. I have many moments like that. And I get to plant it in other people. But whenever I tell it, see what happens is I come alive again. And whenever you share your faith, whenever you go out there and just plant, you pray for a clerk. You just ask someone, you look down today, is there anything I can do? You just ask simple questions. I'm telling you, there's a harvest out there. People are ready. They don't want to hear about your church. They want to hear about a living God who really is alive today, who really does make the weak strong, who really does make the poor rich in the right sense of the word, the one who really does take the sick and make them whole. They want to hear that. They're open to that. They need that. And whenever you and I allow God's word to be planted in our hearts, we plant ourselves by that river of life where we can drink from, and then we plant it in others, transformation will take place. All of you know, if you've been here for the last 4 years, we look differently today, don't we? I don't know if it's better or if it's worse. I just know we look differently today as a church. I know I was a good-looking kid, and I look like this now. I don't know if that's good or if that's bad. I just know I look different. Change is something that God has sanctioned. He says, in my kingdom, there's going to be change. And if you will not change, you will not grow. If you will not change, if you will not allow me to transform you and make you into my image, you will not see the benefit. If you will not hear my word on every area, whether it be finances, relationships, God has an opinion about every subject. If you are not open to His opinions about how you should live your life and you're not willing to adjust yourself to His leading, you'll never grow. And His kingdom is all about growth. His kingdom is all about transformation. That's my prayer for all of us today. Why don't we stand and ask God to do that? Would you turn to someone and just say, you're destined for the throne. You are destined for greatness. This is a year where you and I need to, as God said to a guy by the name of Zerubbabel, aren't you glad that's not your name? In a book called Zechariah, he was in charge of rebuilding the temple, taking something that was all in shambles and restoring it to something beautiful. And he said this: it's not by might, Zerubbabel, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, God says. And then he goes to the next verse, he says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't look down on the little things, because when you act upon the little things of God, it opens the door for transformation and change on a larger scale than you would know. This is interesting. At least I think it is. You may find it boring, but If you were to study Matthew and Luke, you'll find that they say that the mustard seed, when planted, becomes a tree. In Mark, it says a garden plant. If you were to ask a botanist, what does a mustard seed produce when it is planted? You know what they'll tell you? A shrub. A shrub. Technically, it's not a tree, and yet Matthew and Luke use the term tree. Why is that? Were they mistaken? Were they uninformed? Were they just throwing out a term? I think, as I began to pray about it, I think that this is what takes place. When you do the little things, God will take it far beyond the natural realm. It's your natural thing should have produced a shrub, but I'm going to make it produce a tree. So large that many people are going to be receptive of the blessing that I've given to you. Does that make sense? It's kind of like only God can give you a name that is bigger than other names. You know, we have a name in this valley, in this city, that is a good name. Koinonia means positive things to this community. But our name is larger than we are. Why is that? It's because we just kept doing the little things. Just kept saying yes. Like in any marriage, it's not the big I do, it's all the little I do's. It's not remembering the anniversary, it's not remembering the birthday, please husbands do that, but it's taking out the trash today. It's mowing the lawn tomorrow. It's filling up your wife's car with gas on Tuesday. It's doing all the little things, the little I do's. That's what will release God to do some stuff. And I think that when we plant our little mustard seed, yeah, it should become a shrub, but all of a sudden God says, no, because of your faithfulness and you did it in my name, I'm going to make that shrub into a tree. And you're going to provide some shade. And we know how nice shade is in the summer, don't we? It's nice to sit in some shade when it's 110 degrees. Father, continue to transform us. Continue to make us look more like your Son every day. Father, you have given us the privilege of speaking your Son's name, and we declare his name today as the name above all names, Jesus. Speak it. Wouldn't you just speak his name? Would you? Jesus. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. We want to look more like you, Jesus. Oh, we ask you to plant your word in our heart. Would you help us to keep planted by the river of life? And Lord, would you this year help us to plant in others the same life that you've planted in us. My wife got to plant that seed. She prayed for that. I don't know what will happen in that woman's life because my wife took time to pray. I don't know what will happen this morning as I went into Walmart and I talked with that clerk, Lord, and I began to share something. I don't know what will happen, Jesus, in those lives, but there was some planting going on. And I pray that on the basis of this parable, that I pray some great things would happen this year. As your people set themselves to be planted in your word and to plant your word in others. Let these things happen, I pray. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe there's someone here today, you've never asked God to plant his life in you. You've never asked him to save you from your sins, to forgive you, and give you a brand new life. Many of you have already done that, but if there's anyone here today that has never asked God to plant his life in them, I want you to just raise your hand. I want to pray for you because that can happen in you today. Your life can start to change. Some of you, yes, I see that hand over there to my right. Anyone else? Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. Was there another hand here? Okay, I see that hand. Jesus, I pray for my sister here now. She's making a declaration. Her hand is up saying that she's never asked you to come to her and forgive her sins. And I pray, God, right now that you'd set her free from the past. Right now, give her a brand new future. Thank you, Lord. As she makes confession, you said if we confess you as Lord and believe that you were raised from the dead by the Father, that we would be saved. May that happen for her today. We pray great blessing upon her life in your precious name. Everybody said amen. Would you please, you who raised your hand, please come down. Let us give you some information to take with you. You know, this idea came to me last week, and I'm going to have it made up as quickly as I can. We're going to give out birth certificates to everyone coming to the Lord this year. We're going to get some official birth certificates. We're going to fill them out so when people receive Jesus, we're going to have them come down. We're going to give them a birth certificate so they can take home, just like their birth certificate. When if you go on a trip, you have to have that. We're going to do that. We're going to pray for people. So elders and wives and prayer team, please come forward. And if you raise your hand, please come forward. Let someone pray for you, give you some material before you leave. God bless you today. If you need some prayer, come on down.